Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah. Moko shabaka shedidi yoko shabidi yaka.
Oh God, this next generation needs you. God, you said that in the last days, you shall pour your spirit upon all flesh. You said that the young people shall prophesy. And God, the young people need you like never before. For the enemy is on attack. So now, God, I pray against all type of gun violence. I pray against the shootings that's in our schools. I pray against suicidal thoughts. I pray against drugs. I pray against bullying. And I speak over the lives of the young people, that they would not go into the hands of temptation. The young people will get back in place with you. They will hunger for holiness. And the hunger will be so great that it will be unexplainable. In the name of Jesus, God, I declare right now that we, your young people, we will present ourselves as a sacrifice. Our lives are in your hands. We make the choice. We make the vow right now that, God, we will not give in to peer pressure. We will not give in, God, to suicidal thoughts. We will not give in to what the enemy has to offer. We will not give in to the plans of the enemy. But, God, we stand and we say we will be holy. We will keep our bodies pure. We will keep our bodies pure. We'll keep our minds pure. In the name of Jesus, we will not give in to drugs. We will not give in to drinking. We will not give in to smoking. But God, we will stand for holiness. We will stand for what's right. So God, we cry out, purify us, Lord. Purify us, Lord.
Hallelujah. Purify us, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Father, we're so grateful that we could call upon your mighty name tonight, and we could say, Abba, Father, which art in heaven, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we thank you, Lord God. We break all generational curses of pride, rebellion, lust, poverty, witchcraft, idolatry, death, destruction, failure, sickness, infirmity, fear, schizophrenia, and rejection, in the name of Jesus. We command all generational and hereditary spirits operating in our lives, O God, through a curse to be bound and cast out in the name of Jesus. We command all spirits of lust, perversion, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and immorality to come out of our sexual character in the name of Jesus. We command all spirits of hurt, rejection, fear, anger, wrath, sadness, depression, discouragement, grief, bitterness, and unforgiveness to come out of our emotions in the name of Jesus. We command all spirits of confusion, forgetfulness, mind control, mental illness, double-mindedness, fantasy, pain, pride, and memory recall to come out of our mind in the name of Jesus. We break all curses of schizophrenia in the name of Jesus, and command all spirits of double-mindedness, rejection, rebellion, and the root of bitterness to come out in the name of Jesus. We command all spirits of guilt, shame, and condemnation to come out of our conscience in the name of Jesus. We command all spirits of pride, stubbornness, disobedience, rebellion, all spirits of self-will, selfishness, and arrogance to come out of our will in the name of Jesus. We command all spirits of addiction to come out of our appetite in the name of Jesus. We command all spirits of witchcraft, sorcery, divination, and occult to come out in the name of Jesus. We command all spirits operating in our head, eyes, mouth, throat, tongue to come out in the mighty name of Jesus. We command all spirits operating in our chest and lungs to come out in the mighty name of Jesus. We command all spirits operating in our stomach, navel, and abdomen to come out in the name of Jesus. We command all spirits operating in our back and our spine to come out in the name of Jesus. We command all spirits operating in our sexual organs to come out in the name of Jesus. We command all spirits operating in our hands, arms, legs, feet to come out in the name of Jesus. We command all demons operating in our skeletal system, including our bones, joints, knees, and elbows to come out in the name of Jesus. We command all spirits operating in our glands and endocrine system to come out in the name of Jesus. We command all spirits operating in our blood circulatory system to come out in the name of Jesus. We command all spirits operating in our muscles and muscular system to come out in the name of Jesus. We command all religious spirits of doubt, unbelief, error, heresy, and tradition that came in through religion to come out in the name of Jesus. We command all spirits from our past that are hiding in our present and future to come out in the name of Jesus. We command all ancestral spirits that enter through our ancestors to come out in the name of Jesus. We command all hidden spirits hiding in any part of our lives to come out in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we're so grateful that we could call on your mighty name, your holy name. We're thankful that you are a righteous King, the King of Kings, and you are a holy God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Welcome to Boys to Men and Girls to Ladies. I am your co-host, Tyrese Turner, from Holland, Michigan.
And I am your host, Aretha Gantling, from Jacksonville, Florida.
Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to forgive us for our sins, known and unknown, Lord. We repent for everything we've done wrong, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your power being evident in all of our lives, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this station going the way that you want it to go, Lord Jesus. We honor you for the learning that we're going to learn today, Lord Jesus. Let it stick with us and go with us wherever we go, in the name of Jesus. We will keep it around our necks, Lord Jesus. Let us pay attention to the words that are spoken, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we continually bless and honor you. We thank you, Lord God, that we will give our lives as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. We thank you, Lord God, that we are holy like you, because you commanded us to be holy, in the mighty name of Jesus. So we thank you tonight for what you're going to do on University of Biblical Studies, Boys to Men and Girls to Ladies. It is time for praise and worship. We are thanking you, Lord God, for what you're doing in our lives. Oh, God, we are grateful that we can praise you. We are grateful that we can honor you. We are grateful that we can say, Abba, Father, which art in heaven. Father, we thank you for blessing everyone who's on the line tonight, blessing people to come on like never before, protecting them, oh God, leading them in a plain path. Oh God, I thank you for protecting us from seen and unseen dangers, from the pandemic, from disease known and unknown to man, oh God. Oh God, we thank you that you are the great physician, the great healer, and we are calling on your name. We are honoring you today, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and thanksgiving. Oh God, bless all of our families. In the name of Jesus, our neighborhood, our cities, our state, our nation, in the name of Jesus. So we give you glory, praise, and thanksgiving for what you've done already and for what you are about to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we thank God tonight for the Turner family. They're going to sing a song of praise unto the Lord. All right. Good evening, Turner family.
Good evening.
All right, what are y'all going to sing tonight?
What a mighty God we serve.
Amen. Go right ahead.
What a
mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before you. Heaven and earth adore you. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
Waiting for you.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
Amen, amen, amen. Have you got one more song that you could sing? We appreciate it. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, I love that song because we do serve a mighty God. Yep, a mighty God. If you got one more song, that'd be great. All right. So,
in the name of Jesus.
And Jesus, come up from the
dead. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. We're in the army that's rising up. We're in the army that's rising up. We're in the army that's rising up. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain.
Amen. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. What a mighty God we serve. And we thank God that he's going to break every chain. There's power in the name of Jesus. We thank the Lord for you all, Turner family. God bless you.
Our lesson tonight will be taught by Sister G. Please feel free to listen and participate. Our topic is purity, the hormone issue.
All right, we're going to be talking about purity, the hormone issue tonight. Thank God for each of you. Thank God for you all being on with us tonight. Thank God for the message that the Lord gave us. All right. Well, we're ready for Tyrese and Micah tonight.
Mr. Love and Mr. Lust, a conversation about a chaste woman of God. The word chaste means pure in thought and action, sexually pure, clean, spotless, untouched, and a virgin. Love. Lust, have you seen my lady? My woman, the love of my life. She's a very special and unique woman. Her price is far above rubies.
Love, where should I have seen your lady? How does she look? What makes her so special and unique, as you say?
Well, Lust, she's different than other women. She's untouched in body, soul, and spirit. She's beautiful inside and out. She has a positive attitude. She puts God first in her life. She doesn't just go to church and hang with the chicks. I mean cliques. She really has a relationship with God. She's no phony. She's genuine. Real, really real. Father God is her best friend. She seeks to please him. She checks with the Almighty before she does anything.
Lust. Wow, where did you meet her? How did she get to be so unique? Where can I find a woman like her? I go to church, but I have not seen any such woman.
Well, I looked everywhere for a woman like her. She's like the woman in Proverbs 31:10-31. I prayed and asked God for a woman after his own heart for me to marry, and he sent her. She is careful where she goes and what she does. I didn't even meet her in church. I looked in the church, and to tell you the truth, I couldn't even find her. I like her, but she is in love with God. She does like me as a friend. We go out different places with other friends. She is so unique because her character is like so many women in the Bible. Like Miriam, she is ambitious, Numbers 12:12. Like Deborah, she is patriotic, Judges 4:4. Like Hannah, she prays much, 1 Samuel 25:3. Like the Shunammite woman, she is hospitable, 2 Kings 4:8-10. Like Elizabeth, she is humble, Luke 1:43. Like Lydia, she is a businesswoman, Acts 16:14-15. Like Dorcas, she is a seamstress, Acts 9:36.
I see what you mean, love. She is unique. Wow. I'm almost speechless. I don't know any woman like the one you described. I've met many women, but I'm still looking for one like you've described. I've looked in parks, movies, plays, and different churches on every pew. I can tell you because I've had a few. They were touched in their body and were not even pure in their thoughts or conversations, and surely not in their actions.
Lust. My lady is a peaceful woman. She doesn't have a degree in fussing, fighting, or slickology. She is a woman of integrity. She also loves to cook and avoids Mickey D's and other such places. May I make a suggestion to you, Lust?
Sure, love. What's up?
In order to have a woman like mine, I suggest you, first, give your life to Christ, not to women. Matthew 3:15-18. Second, hunger and thirst for God, not women. Psalms 42:1. Third, put God first in your life and not women. Matthew 6:33. Fourth, please God in everything you do, not women. John 8:29. And fifth, hopefully God will allow you to find a woman like mine. Proverbs 18:22.
Lily?
Miss Love and Miss Lust, a conversation about a chaste man. The word chaste means pure in thought and action, sexually pure, clean, spotless, untouched, a virgin.
Lust, have you seen the man of my dreams, my knight in shining armor? He's a very special man. He's not like other guys. He's a very special and unique man. He is wise and listens to wisdom, to wise counsel from his father. His father gives him wisdom, like Solomon gave his son in the book of Proverbs. Read Proverbs chapter 1, and you will understand what I mean.
Love, where do you think I saw your man? How does he look? What makes him so special and unique, as you say?
Well, Lust, he is different than other guys I have met. He's untouched in his body, clean in his thoughts, and pure in his conversations. He is handsome and has a positive attitude. He puts God first in his life. He doesn't go to church and then hang out. He doesn't go to church and hang out with the guys or gossip about the chicks. His relationship with God is real and genuine. He is sincere, mighty man of integrity. God is his best friend, and he checks with the Almighty before he does anything.
Wow. Where did you meet him? How did he get to be so unique? Where can I find a man like him? I go to church, but I have not seen anybody like him.
Well, Lust, the word of God says that a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and so finds favor with the Lord. So you don't have to look for a man. He will find you. He is like the man in Proverbs 31, 22 through 28. He is well known in the city and in the government. He knows how to praise and compliment a woman. Oh, by the way, love, I did not meet him in church. To tell you the truth, I like him. I'm sorry. I did meet him in church. To tell you the truth, he is like. I like him, but he is love with God. He doesn't like me, but he comes, but God comes first in his life. He's unique because he has a great character, like so many men in the Bible. Like Joseph, he is a dreamer, Genesis 37:5. Like Samuel, he has a godly mother, 1 Samuel 2:9. Like David, he is a man after God's own heart. Like Solomon, he is a man of wisdom, 1 Kings 4:29 through 34. Like Daniel, he is courageous, Daniel 6:1 through 28. Like Timothy, he learned about God and taught the word of God by his mother and grandmother, Timothy 1:5.
I see what you mean, love. He is very unique. Wow, I'm speechless. I don't know any men like the one you described. I met a few guys, but none like the one you're talking about. I know as a young lady, I'm not supposed to look for a man, but I have in the past. Now that you are teaching about God's ways, I am going to try to do the thing God wants me to do. I don't know if I can, but I will try. From the things you are telling me, I have not been following God's plan. I need help.
Lust, that sounds like a good idea and a great plan. First, let me tell you a few more things about this true man of God. His appearance. He does not like fussing, cussing, or fighting. He is a man of integrity. He loves to cook and hates fast food. He is planning on becoming an engineer and a teacher of the Word of God. Lust, can I make a suggestion to you?
Sure, love. What's up?
Well, in order to meet a young man like the one I like, may I suggest you, one, give God your life, not men, Matthew 3:15-18. Two, hunger and thirst for God, not men, Psalms 42:1. Three, put God first in your life, not men. Four, please God in everything you do, not men, John 8:29. Five, then maybe God will allow you to meet a man, one I have, Proverbs 18:22. Amen, amen. Well, I thank the Turner family for participating in the skit, Mr. Love and Mr. Lust, Miss Love and Miss Lust. That deals with purity, and I thank God tonight we're talking about purity, the hormone issue, purity in thought, purity in our actions. That's what God wants. God is pure, and he's requiring us to be pure in every area of our lives. God wants young people to be pure, to to protect them, to protect them from bondage. Bondage is a state of being, you know, a slave. Nobody wants to be in bondage. Bondage also means the sexual practice that involves the typing up or restraining of one partner, the tying up, I'm sorry, or restraining of a partner. God wants all humans to be sexually pure. Sex was created by God, but we can make it impure by using sex in ways that God did not intend. Sex is beautiful, great, fantastic in marriage. Sex was created by God for one, procreation. In Genesis, God said, be fruitful and multiply. For pleasure, sex was created for pleasure between a husband and a wife. So I need someone. I'm going to unmute the lines. If you want to participate, you can. If not, you can mute your line back. We need readers of the Bible, so get your Bibles ready. We need you to read the Word of God for us tonight. Who would like to find 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 4? State your name, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. Who would like to read that? That's in the New Testament. First Corinthians 7, 1 through 4.
Sister G, can you hear me?
Yes, I can now.
This is Annette, and is it okay if I read it from the Message Bible?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All right, you're
going
to read
it. What did you say?
All right, hold on 1 second. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 4. I'm going to assign some other scriptures as well. Who would like to read 1 Corinthians 9, 27?
This is Micah Turner.
Okay,
I'll
Micah. Thank you. Who would like to read 1 Corinthians 6, 18? Give your name, and yes, you'll read it.
This is Tyrese. I'll read it.
All right, Tyrese. That's 1 Corinthians 6, 18. All right, who will read Romans 6, 12 through 14?
Lily will.
All right, thank you, Lily. All right, we have 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Who will read that one?
This is Levi.
All right, thank you, Levi. All right, we need some more readers. Hebrews 13:4. Who would like to read that? Hebrews 13:4. Okay, I tell you what, we'll just start with Sister Annette, and then I'll reassign after we finish these. All right, we should be in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Okay, Sister Annette, go right ahead and read.
All right, thank you. Now, getting down to the question you asked in your letter to me. First, is it a good thing to have sexual relations? Certainly, but only within a certain context. It's good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them and provide for a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. The marriage bed must be a place of mutuality. The husband seeking to satisfy his wife, the wife seeks to satisfy her husband. Marriage is not a place to stand up for your rights. Marriage is a decision to serve the other, whether in bed or out. Is that right?
Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yes, so Corinthians 7 deals with marriage, and he said it's better for a man. I'm going to put a boy in there or a girl, not to touch each other, but it will be fornication if a boy or a girl or a man or a woman are touching each other and they're not married. So he says, let everybody have their own wife or their own husband. And it pleases God when we do what he says. He wants us to have sexual purity to protect us from all kinds of things. So we'll continue discussing, all right? We have Mike Turner. He's going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 27. All right, go right ahead, Micah.
But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Yeah, we have to keep our bodies. We have to have self-control. This scripture is talking about self-control. A lot of times, you know, a lot of us get out of control. Sister Gloria, can you do me a favor? Can you mute your phone for me?
Oh, I'm muted. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I got a little feedback coming in. All right. So now we have Tyrese Turner. Read 6:18. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18.
1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his whole body.
All right. Yep, he sinned against his own body. So the Lord says, run from it. I don't know if you remember the story in Joseph. Joseph, the king's wife, was pulling on him to have sex with her. He left his coat and he ran. He ran from her. So that's what we have to do. In order to keep ourselves pure, we have to flee or run from sexual problems. We cannot give our bodies to fornication. We want to be pure in our thoughts. And sometimes we might have thoughts, but we have to cast those thoughts down. They may be evil thoughts. Thoughts come to you. And, you know, another thing that we have to be careful about, we have to guard our eyes from impure things, getting on the computer, looking at pornography, or you know, just, I tell you, I really sometimes feel so bad for this generation because the way some people dress is very alluring, enticing, and it calls for problems. You have to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. You have to be pure in thought and read the word, study the word continuously. If not, you will be tempted because, you know, the way people are dressing now, it can be, you know, a problem. I'm going to put it to you like that. All right. We have Lily. She's going to read Romans. All right. Hold on 1 second. I'm turning there myself. Romans 6, 12 through 14. Hold on, Lily. I'll be right there. Romans 6, 12 through 14. Okay. I got it, Lily. Go ahead.
Romans 6, 12 through 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace.
All right. Thank you, Lily. Yeah, we can't have sin ruling us. We got to yield not to temptation, because yielding to temptation is sin. You know, if you keep on saying, oh, yeah, I like him, I like her, and you keep on pursuing that and looking at them, running after them, That's sin. So we have to avoid sin at all costs. And, you know, lust is a very powerful thing. We have to avoid it. We have to avoid it. Remember, 1 Corinthians 7:1 says, it's better for a man or a boy not to touch a woman or a girl, but everyone have their own husband or wife. And when you're young, your hormones are changing. So a lot of times you're like, oh, what am I going to do about this? That's when we have to bring our bodies under subjection so that we are not yielding to temptation. When we yield to temptation, we get into sexual sins, and God is not pleased with that. Father God wants us to have self-control. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, self-control. So we have to remember to have self-control. And, you know, we can't do anything on our own. We have to pray and seek the Father. And sometimes we have to have wise counsel from someone else. Sometimes maybe your father, your mother, or your spiritual mother or father, you may need counsel. Say, look, I'm going through this, and, you know, and this boy keep pulling at me, or this girl keep pulling at me. You have to let somebody know, because those things can pull you into sin, and that's not what we want. So we have to learn to bring our bodies under subjection unto the Lord. All right, we're ready for Levi. He's going to read 1 Corinthians 6:19-20.
What? Now ye, not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorifying God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
All right. Thank you so much, Levi. Yes, it says that it's asking a question. What? Don't you know that your body is the temple of God? It is definitely the temple of God. That's where God lives. So we have to make sure that we are not yielding ourselves to the enemy, but that we are having self-control. You were bought with the price. The price you were bought with is from Christ the Father. He bought you with the price. He died so that we can be pure in thought, pure in our actions. God wants us to be holy and to have self-control. He says, flee fornication. In verse 18, every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinned against his own body. And I know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to sin against my own body. All right, we have Hebrews 13 and verse 4. I'd like to read that.
I will. Hebrews 13.
Yeah, Sister Annette, is that you?
Yes, this is Sister Annette. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
13 and 4.
Yes, I need somebody else to read. No, not yet. I need someone else to read Ephesians 5:25. Ephesians 5:25. Who would like to read that? Micah, would you read Ephesians 5:25?
Yes,
Micah,
ma'am.
Are you there? All right, and Lily.
I'll read it.
Okay. Lily, would you read Ephesians 5:5?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So we're ready for Sister Nett. She's going to read Hebrews 13 and verse 4. We're searching the scriptures tonight because that's what's going to keep us strong. The Word of God is very powerful. It cuts stuff out of us that we don't need. It cuts stuff out of us that we do not need. Hebrews 13 and verse 4. All right.
And that reads, yes, from the King James Version. And it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge.
Yes, indeed. God's word is true. He said marriage is honorable. It's a good thing to be married. But when you mess up and you go with someone who you're not married to, that defiles our temple. Whoremongers and adulterers, who's going to judge them? God. God is going to judge them. So we have to be careful who we are with. Make sure that you are married before you have sex. This is what all these scriptures are about, being married. Otherwise, you become impure, immoral. All right. Micah, would you read Ephesians 5:25?
Yes, ma'am. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
All right, notice this is talking about husbands loving their wives. It didn't say boys or girls. It says husbands love your wife. How? It even tells us how. Like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So we thank God. All right, next scripture, Lily, Ephesians 5:5.
Thanks, God.
For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ, oh God.
All right. So whoremonger is a person who's sleeping with several people. They're just going and sleeping with this one, having sex with this one, having sex with another one, having sex. It has nothing to do with love. But God wants, God's love is pure. We cannot defile our temples. This is about living pure, holy lives. Genesis 4:1 says, Adam slept with Eve, his wife. Adam slept with Eve, his wife. She conceived and had Cain. She said, I've gotten a man with God's help. So he was a man child. God wants to protect young people from heartaches, difficult lives, hardships. Sex and love are not the same. You can have sex with someone that you do not love. Now, many teenagers get this mixed up. They go like, oh, I really love him, or I really love her. It's not usually love. It could be, but most times it's lust. Lust. And sometimes it is what we call infatuation. Love is lasting, but lust, you can lust for several people at the same time. But love is completely different. You can have sex, as I said, with someone who you do not love. You can have sex with someone you don't even have feelings for. Someone you don't even care about. Lust and love are not the same. Lust is a very strong emotional desire. You know, when I was a teenager growing up, I can remember having lust for a boy, or, you know, just lusting after him. But it's a very strong desire. And sometimes you think you love them. Now, you may like them. And sometimes you think, oh, yeah, I love him, Mama. I love him, Daddy. But it's not always love. Sometimes when I was growing up, we called it puppy love. But it's not always love. Sometimes it's lust. And, you know, lust is a passion. It's a sensual appetite regarded as sin. You know, God doesn't want us to lust. That's we have to bring it under control. Bring it. It's that desire that we have. We have to bring it under control. Lust is a feeling, a strong desire for you know, another person, a strong desire for another person. Now, I want to tell you, sex brings responsibility. With sex, it brings responsibility. Now, before I move on, I want to know, does anyone have any questions so far? Anybody have any questions? No questions? Wow. We're doing good. Everybody understand everything? So if I ask you a question, you can answer, right? All right. Everybody understand everything. That's good. We must be breaking it down. Okay. So I thank God for you tonight. We're going to continue our lesson about lust and love, sexual purity. We're talking about purity. You know, God's way is pure. God wants us to be holy and pure. Now, when we get into sex as young people, it brings about problems, lots of problems. You can have so many different problems. I'm sorry, did someone say something? Okay, I thought someone wanted to say a comment or something. Okay, responsibility. What is it? It's the state of having a duty to deal with something. You know, a lot of young people got into sex when they were young, and a lot of the young girls got pregnant. The book that I wrote, The Diary of an Unwed Mother, the young woman in the book got pregnant, and the boy left her. That wasn't love. That was lust. So we have to be careful. With sex comes responsibility. A lot of times you may, you know, may think that you love this person, but it may not be love at all. You have to be very, very careful about getting into sex as a youth, because it will bring on lots of problems. I mean, lots of problems. There is no such thing as safe sex. There's no such thing as safe sex. You know, I'm sure most of you have heard about a condom, a rubber or a prophylactic, which is intended to prevent diseases. And it doesn't, many people will tell you, in my generation or before or after, they use rubbers, but they still got different kinds of venereal diseases. So we want to live in such a way that we are not exposing our bodies to all sorts of things. There are many kinds of venereal diseases: HPV, syphilis, chlamydia, HIV, gonorrhea, public lice, which people call crabs, herpes. There are many more kinds of sexual diseases. What are sexual diseases? Those are diseases that are contracted during sex. But if a man and his wife, a husband and wife, they're just dealing with each other, that's not going to bring on any kind of sexual disease. Sexual diseases usually come about when people are sleeping with more than one person. You ever heard, you know, a guy say, "Oh, girl, I slept with Mary at 6 o'clock this evening. You know, after I left Mary's house, I went to Sally's house. I slept with her, too. I don't like none of them." And then after I left her, I went over Jane's house. You know, that's sexual. That's lust. That's impure. God doesn't want us to deal with impure things. That's how you contact a lot of sexual diseases, because you're dealing. That's what God is trying to protect young people from. He wants to protect young people from getting into all kinds of problems with sex. He doesn't want you to have all these heartaches and all of these problems that come about from, you know, dealing with sexual things. Sex was created for marriage, for procreation, and for, you know, pleasure, but only for a husband and a wife, not for young people. Young people have to avoid, this can be a trap for young people. Many young people, you know, they have, like I tell you, your hormones change, you get into these situations, you go like, oh, my God. You know, I've known in my neighborhood a few years ago, this young woman, she was climbing out the window of her bedroom, going to meet a boy. Now, we have to be careful about getting into those kind of situations. You cannot sneak around. What they say, the old thing used to say, you can't get by with these things. God sometimes shows parents, yeah, your daughter is going through this or your son is going through that. Your parents have to protect you from seen and unseen dangers. We're talking about lust and love, and they are completely different. Most times, young people have lust. It's not necessarily love. It could be. Love will last forever. Love will last. And it's love is usually between married people, not young 14, you know, 13, 12. Your hormones are changing, yes, but you have to be careful. Now, there are different kinds of love. These are the kind of love that God created for us. Storge is love of empathy. You know, where you empathize for somebody. You see somebody, you know, maybe in a wheelchair. You love that person. You know, you have empathy for them. Philia, it's the friendship. That's the friend. You meet a friend and you have a bond with that friend, a closeness. That's called phileo. Eros is a romantic kind of love. That's what young people like. Oh, yeah, they want that romantic kind of love. But, you know, love, it doesn't come overnight. You meet somebody and you go like, oh, yeah, I really love him. No, you may like them, but that's not love. Love is built over a period of time through going through different situations in life, going through one situation after the other. Now, like I said, Eros is a romantic kind of love. That's when you look at some people in the Bible, who remembers the person, and I cannot remember his name right now, but he worked 7 years for the woman that he loved. When he saw Rachel, I believe it was Rachel, what was the man's name? He helped me. Hello? Somebody said something. I can't understand you. Hello? Okay. So I can't remember his name right now, but he worked 7 years for the woman he loved.
This is Tyrese.
Okay.
Was it Jacob?
Yes, Jacob. He loved. Who was the woman that he loved? Do you remember?
Rachel,
right. He worked 7 years for her. And, you know, he got tricked. He was a trickster, remember, when he was young? But he got tricked. And the father-in-law told him he was going to give him to him after 7 years, but the father-in-law tricked him and gave him her sister, the older one. Then he loved Rachel so much, he worked another 7 years. So that's how love is. You'll jump, you know, mountains for the person you love. You'll do all kinds of things for the person you love. You're not going to just want to just sleep with them. Jacob worked 7 long years. How many men today would do that, work 7 long years for a woman? Or how many women would wait for a man for 14 years? Uh-uh. Most of them want, we want instant love. We want right now. We want what we want right now. But God wants us to wait. You know, that's how God is. Some of us have waited for years for certain things. God wants us to wait. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. and, you know, he will strengthen us. If you if you're struggling with lust or some kind of, you know, problem, God is the answer. He will help you. Bring it to him. Say, Lord, I'm struggling with this right here. I like this girl, and or I like this boy, and sometimes I feel I want to sleep with him. I want to have sex with him. But remember, you got to have self-control. You got to wait. Sex was created for marriage. Sex outside of marriage, what's that called? What is sex outside of marriage called? Somebody state your name and give the answer.
Fornication.
Who is that?
Fornication.
Who are you?
Rosemary.
How you doing, Rosemary? I saw her today.
Hey, I'm listening. Yeah.
All
I'm
right.
Listening. This is wonderful. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's fornication. And God says fornication is a sin. It's against the body. So God wants us to be protected. He does not want us to fornicate. That's having sex with someone you're not married to. And people that are married sometimes sneak around. They go out, have another person they're not even married to, and that's called adultery. So it's fornication and adultery. Both of those are against the body. And God does not want that. Now, let's everybody turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Glory Dean, you can unmute your phone now. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is real love. This is what love is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So let's everybody turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the love chapter. You really want to know what love is? Read 1 Corinthians 13. This is what love is in 1 Corinthians 13.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 13. So I'm going to begin the reading, and then I'm going to call on somebody else to read with me. Anybody need more time? Glory Dean, you got your phone off mute?
It is.
Oh, okay, good.
It is.
Thank you. All right. So we're on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So I'm going to call on some of you to read. All right. Verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. What does charity mean? State your name and tell me.
Gloria Dean.
My name.
Love means charity. Charity means love.
All right. Good job. Charity means love. And someone else gave the answer as well, I believe. Who was that?
Sister Annette.
All right, Sister Annette, thank you. Charity is love. So when we read, we can replace that. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That's something loud. You know, you're just making loud noise, but it's of no, it doesn't have any background with it. It's just making noise. So he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become a sounding breath. You could do all kinds of things. You could go to church every Sunday, every time the doors open, Wednesday, Thursday. You can, serve the poor. But if you don't have love, it's of no effect. All right, verse 2. Micah, can you read verse 2?
Yes, ma'am. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing.
All right. So you could do all of these, but if you don't have love, we are nothing. Mm-hmm. Love is the essence of, that's who God is. God is love. And we have to love as well, but it has to be a pure love. It can't have motives behind it. You know, you see a beautiful girl and you say, "Ooh, my God, she's beautiful. I want to have sex with her, but I don't want to marry her." No. Or you see a good looking man, you say, "I want to have sex with her, but I don't want to get married to him." That's fornication. That's wrong. This is what God is telling us tonight. He's saying, "Listen, I want you to love with a pure love. I want you to have pure thoughts, pure in your actions. I want you to be sexually pure, and I'm doing that to protect you." All right, Lily, can you read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3?
Yes, ma'am. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing.
All right. So we could do all of these things. All of these things. We can make loud noises. We could prophesy the house down. And we can understand all the mysteries of the world. And we can have all the knowledge and all the faith. Yeah, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can have that. We can even move mountains. But if we don't have charity, which is love, it's nothing. We're nothing. All right? Sister Nett, would you read verse 3, 1 Corinthians 13, 3?
Yes. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing.
Yes. So we could do all of these things. Feed the poor. We can move mountains. We can prophesy. We could do all these. But if we don't have love, it's not going to profit us anything in this life. God is love, and he wants us to love him first with all of our heart, soul, and strength. That's the first commandment. And then to love other people like we love ourselves. Sister Glory Dean, would you read verse 4, 1 Corinthians 4?
Okay. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Praise God.
Amen. Yeah, charity is kind. It doesn't envy. You know, you ever been jealous of somebody? We all sometimes have that jealousy. And we go like, "Woo, that's a horrible feeling." I said, "Lord, remove that from me. Remove jealousy from me. I don't want to be jealous of anybody." No. So, or envy somebody. That's, you know, like it goes like cousins with jealousy. So he said, okay, you can be haughty, puffed up. Oh, yeah, I got it going on. Mm-mm, you don't want that. Charity suffers long. That's how Jacob was with Rachel. He suffered a long time working hard, 7 long years. And then he still didn't get to marry her. He had to wait 7 more years. But in his mind, she was worth it. Not just her beauty, but her character. She had a good character. She was loving and kind. She was honest and pure in thought and in action. He didn't sleep with her before he married her. He waited for her 14 years before he could marry her and have sex with her. How many men today are willing to do that? How many women today are willing to do that? Wait on God to provide your mate so that you can have the pleasure of having sex, so that you can have children. You know, they say if you have a child out of wedlock, that's a bastard. You have a child with somebody you're not married to, that child is considered a bastard. So we don't want to bring bastards into the world, but I'm not condemning anybody, but sometimes those things happen. So we have to be careful. And today, a lot of people are having sex outside of marriage. They're creating bastards. But that's not what what God wants. God wants us to be pure in our thoughts, pure in our actions. He wants us to be sexually pure. God knows the end of our lives from the beginning. He already knows what we're going to do before we do it, so he warns us. He wants us to protect us. He lets us know, listen, you're getting into trouble. You're going to be in trouble if you don't let go of that. We get warnings. You're going to be in trouble if you keep on looking at pornography on the computer. If you keep on, you know, getting on the computer, getting into these sexual kinds of I guess I forgot what you call them now, but, you know, looking at lust, looking at lustful things on the TV. Even I make sure that I don't watch movies that are sexual in nature, because that brings on problems. You keep on getting these ideas about sex over and over and over and over. No, we have to get rid of that. We have Prophet Mike along with us. He's going to be praying for us shortly, for young people, for our youth and their families. But tonight we're talking about sexual purity in thought and in our actions. We have to follow God's will. So we've been, right now we're learning about true love. I thank God for Jacob and Rachel. They taught us about pure love. He waited and she waited. They waited for each other for 14 years. They didn't sleep with each other before they were married. That's a long time. And love is like that. Love, when you meet somebody, most times, even a lot of married couples, when they get married, it's not necessarily love. You see all these people divorcing. Love should not end, but most of the time it's lust. Oh, I left him or I left her because. It's no excuse. So we have to wait on God to send us the right mate so that we're not stepping out and fornicating. We're not committing adultery. So we are learning that though we speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, oh, no, uh-uh. It profit us nothing. So we're going to let Prophet Michael, he's a young man, he just turned I think 22 or 23. He's going to be praying for youth and their families. Good evening, Prophet Michael. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great. He's on his hour from his job, so he's going to pray. Hey, we're glad you're on, Prophet Michael.
Yes, ma'am. Isn't God good?
Amen.
He's wonderful.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, well, I thank you so much for allowing me to come on. Not going to take up the time, but I want to say a prayer for the youth and for the family. So, dear Heavenly Father, God, I just want to come and tell you thank you for who you are. Father, you deserve the glory, the praise, and the honor, and there is no one like you, God. Father, forgive us for every sin we have committed against you, Lord. God, purge us with hyssop, and we shall be clean. Wash us, and we shall be whiter than snow. Oh, Father, as I pray for the youth, I begin to also pray for myself as a young man, God. I just thank you, God, for this generation, Lord. Father, you said that there grew up a generation that knew not the Lord. Oh, but you also said, God, that you will teach. You said over in Isaiah 54, you said, thy children, mandi iko shalala manziki alala mando, thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be thy peace. So, Father, I thank you for the generation that is being taught of you, that is being taught of your standard, being taught of what you stand for and what you disagree and what you agree with. I thank you, Father, that there's a generation that heart and longs after you, Father. I thank you, God, that there's a people that your hand is on. Just like you've had a set of people, God, that you brought out of Egypt, God, there's a set of people, young people in this generation, in this nation, in this country, oh God, that your hand is on, and they're thirsty and hungry after you. They're saying, God, I want more and more of you. I want more and more of you. And Father, the things that they're going through, Lord, they don't know how to come out. They don't know who to ask to come out, because some are ashamed of what they're doing and what they're going through. But God, I thank you, because you are a God that knew all things, and you know how to touch a man and come unto a child in such a way, God, where they'll give over and reveal everything unto you. So, Father, as I pray for this generation, I once want to bind the hand of the enemy. I rebuke the spirit of premature death that is over this generation. They shall not be dying at the age of 18, 20, and 19, and 16. I come against that foul spirit that's been released in the land to cut off this generation. I rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus, and I say, Satan, get your hands off of this generation of people, because this is a God people. This is a Joshua generation, and God shall raise up such a people, such a young man, such a young woman that shall take a stand for what is right. They shall believe in holiness and clean living, because righteousness exalts a nation, but the very sin is a reproach to any people. So, Father, I pray that you cover this generation. Send your angels to keep them and protect them. But not only that, God, give them a boldness to not be afraid, to take a stand and say, no, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not going that way. God, don't let them give in to peer pressure, because everyone around them is saying, well, you lame. Well, you ain't cool because you won't do this and do that. They'll say, no, I don't care what you say. I'm taking a stand for God, if you don't like me or not. Father, you said in your word that the righteous is bold as a lion, and the wicked fled when no one chased them. God, give this generation of people, give them a boldness to take a stand for you, and not to bow to their friends, not to bow to the things that they see on TV and social media just because other people their age is doing it. God, give them something where they won't bow, they won't follow after other people, but they'll follow after you. Give them, God, make them leaders, God. Because too many of them are followers. They follow after everything they see. But God, make them a leader. Put something on the inside. Instill your word down on them, God, and let it grow, Father, that even when they get old, they won't depart. So, God, I ask that you keep them and protect them, shield them, and watch over them. Some are dealing with suicide. Some are going between lost identity. They don't know if they want to be a woman. They don't know if they want to be a man, because the country has legalized that this homosexuality is legal, and now everybody is lifting it up, and it's okay to be gay. But I come against that. I come against that spirit right now in the name of Jesus, and I still say that homosexuality is a sin. I still say that if it's on the inside of you, God can deliver. So, Father, I rebuke the spirit of lost identity, whether kids in this generation from elementary on up now are saying they want to be a woman and they was born a male. They want to be a male and they was born a woman. We rebuke it just because society says it's right. It's not right. And we command that righteousness come back in the city. So, God, I come against that spirit, because children are battling with it. Now, if you talk to them, they'll tell you they like the same sex. But we come against that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I ask that you make real men out of them, make real women out of them. God, I don't care what the world agrees to. I don't care what the world says is okay. God, you said it is still sin, and it is still an abomination. So, Father, we ask that spirit that is on any child that is trying to captivate them and hold them bondage, we rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus and say, Satan, loose your filthy, ikiakashanda, loose your filthy hands up off of those babies and let them go, because they belong to God. They belong to the Lord. And Father, we ask that you see your hand and cover them. Cover them from child molester and predators. Some of them have been molested. Some of them have been taken advantage of, and they've never told no one. But God, we ask that you heal them. We ask that you heal them, God. Some is dealing with depression. Some, their parents have walked out of their lives, and they're struggling with things because the father ain't there, because the mother ain't there. But God, we ask that you heal them. We ask that you strengthen them. We ask that you bind them up, because God, you said that you'll straighten the crooked places. You said that you'll make the rough places. But you said when you come, Lord, that you're coming with healing in your wings. So we ask that you heal their minds, God. Heal their feelings, God. Heal their emotions. Because most of them are bipolar. They got two different personalities because the things they've been through as a child. But God, we ask that you heal them. Heal the children, Lord. Heal them, Lord, from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. But God, keep them and protect them and watch over them. And God, I even pray for this movement that you so inspired in Sister G to start the university with the children. God, I thank you for this movement. I thank you for this move that you have downloaded in her spirit to come up with. And I ask, God, that every child that come on here, God, that you bless them, that you keep them, and you don't let them forget the word that is being taught, because it'll last them when the mama ain't there, when their father ain't there, when the money is gone, when the education has come to an end. This word that she is teaching them, Lord, it'll last them forever, because everything else is going down but your word. So, God, we thank you for that seed that she's sowing in every one of them. We ask that it be planted, oh Lord, because you said one planted and another watered, but you're the one that gives the increase. So we thank you, God, for increasing in every one of their lives that come on here. And, God, I just ask that you bless their parents, just to know how to raise their children, God, because when Hannah was having a baby, Samuel, Father, sought you on how to raise Samuel. He sought you, Father, on how to be a father to Samuel. So, God, I ask that you even touch the fathers and the mothers, that they'll seek you and they'll get instruction on how to raise their children, because some of them think that they're raising them right, but they're not raising them according to your way. They're raising them according to the way the world say you ought to raise them. But God, they ought to raise them by letting them know that there's nothing else important in your life but God, and to keep him first. And when they put that on the inside, then that's when they're raising. When they let them know God is always the number one thing. Don't put me before God. Don't put no one else before God. But God is always the number one thing. So God, help the fathers and help the mothers. Help them to be real parents. Help them to be real mothers. Help them to be real fathers. And strengthen them and encourage them, because they get weak, Father, sometimes. They get weary sometimes. God, they get weary and want to give up and want to throw in the towel. But strengthen them, Lord. Increase them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Lay your hands on them, Lord. And we thank you, Halamandia. We thank you, God, for the things that you're doing. But, God, I ask that this generation will be a generation of people that will take a stand for you, and they'll be like the three Hebrew boys. They'll say, King, we do not bow unto your command, but we stand for the Lord thy God, and even if he don't deliver, he's still able. God, I thank you that you're bringing such a people up out of the muck and the mire, and you're setting such a generation generation on the solid rock, that they won't straddle the fence, that they won't live two double lives, but there'll be one way for righteousness again, advance a nation, and a holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And I thank you, God, that you're sanctifying such a generation. You're cleaning up such a generation. You're perfecting such a generation. You're making Eha holy such a generation. I thank you, God, because this generation that you're raising up is a holy people, is a royal people, is a priesthood, and they're set aside for your word. I thank you, God, that they won't bow, they won't give in, they won't turn away, they won't walk away, but they'll take a stand and a stand for you only. I thank you for the boldness. I thank you for the courageous. I thank you for the fearless. I thank you for the power that you're downloading in such a generation in this hour. There's such preachers and prophets and evangelists and apostles. There's such deacons. There's such preachers and teachers and doctors and lawyers. And there's such manufacturer workers of generation of children that you're raising up, that's going to be a holy people, that's going to be a righteous people, that's going to be a godly people. I thank you, God, that they won't do what the world says. They won't bow to the world way. They don't care what people say. They'll say, I'm living for God, because without God, I am nothing. So I thank you, God, that you're raising up people. It's a Joshua generation. It's a Gideon generation. It's a generation that's not going to bow. God, you sent two spies into the land. Moses sent two spies into the land, and they was young people. It was Joshua and Caleb, and when they went in the land, they came back with a good report. They said, we are more than able to conquer the land. We are more than able to overcome the land. We are more than able to take over the land. They was young people, and God, I thank you that you're raising up such a young people, such a generation that are like Joshua and Caleb. They're going to say, we are more than able to conquer the land, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen.
Amen, amen. What a powerful prayer from a young man of God, a holy, righteous man of God who's keeping himself pure before the Lord. We thank God for you, Prophet Michael. We appreciate you. All right, we're going to continue next week. We'll continue with agape love, unconditional love. We'll continue with 1 Corinthians 13. And right now, we have our co-host on.
Now it's time for an encouraging word from Pastor John Turner.
Praise God, praise God. We give God thanks here. I just want to call for whoever needs to be saved right now, whoever wants to come into the fellowship of the kingdom of the Lord, we ask that you repeat these words. We say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, please forgive me for being disobedient. We're doing this to write off of Romans 10 and 9. But my thing is, we need you to repeat, Father, forgive me for not being obedient to your word. Forgive me for turning away from you. I renounce everything of darkness, everything in my bloodline, all the way back to Adam. Lord God, I renounce those things, and I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for throwing my sins in the sea of forgiveness. Lord God, we repent for all of these things that we did, sins known and unknown. We believe that you died on the cross, and God rose you up again. He raised you up from the dead. Lord God, we give you praise, and we thank you. We call upon your name, and we shall be saved. We give you praise for these things. Amen. Right now, we're just going to talk about processing the process right now. And with the sexual spirit, incubus and succubus, is going all across our generation. So this is an encouraging word to process everything. Every bus have a destination. Please do not be a bus without a destination. It only takes one time to mess up, and then the victim turns into the violator. Victim turns into the violator. My thing is, I've been around a whole lot of women, a whole lot of men, a whole lot of young women, and a whole lot of young men. And my thing is, I hear the same thing. I made a song about it. I had a little young girl in my life that I was talking to, and I met her around the corner. And the song went like, I went around the corner. I met this young girl that says she loves sex and was promiscuous. She went to a party. The people got her drunk. Now she's laying naked. Everybody got them some. 9 months later, the girl had a baby. She didn't know our father, so everything looks crazy. This could happen to you. Man, woman, boy, or girl, they can be victims too. You have to understand, more than just venereal diseases, it only takes one time to get pregnant. You can have a disease and be pregnant. The young man, you can have your thing falling off. You have to understand, you have to process everything before you do it. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants to get in your mind, and when he gets in your mind, he knows out the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So therefore, look at everything. Watch your surroundings. Bad company corrupts good behavior. So therefore, we need to think. We need to process. Because how can you think with a scattered brain? Oh, girl, it's going to feel good. It's going to hurt for a while. It's going to hurt for a while, but it's going to feel good later. I know that from experience. My daughter was almost raped. And I have to tell that testimony. If I don't tell that testimony, it'd just be a swept under the rug. My daughter was almost raped. And they told the girl, coached her into it. The spirit on the girl told her it'll hurt for a little bit, but then you're going to start loving it. It's going to feel so good. So I'm telling you, process your thinking, because God has so much in store for you, and the enemy has obstacles. He has barriers set in the road. He has cones set up so you can get off the path. Even with the trap music, it's just what it is. It's a trap. You can't get off. That's why you have men dyeing their hair. You can walk around the corner. Just look at it tomorrow when you're at the grocery store, when you're walking down the street. And you know what? And lay something on them. In the mighty name of Jesus, I plant an angel on them. Stick an angel with him. In the mighty name of Jesus, he will change. He won't even like the music that he listened to. That music that he listened to is changing everything about him. That music that she's listened to is saying, hey, look, wear the same thing they wear. Be a part of this. So I'm telling you to process it in the mighty name of Jesus. Be blessed, and I love you. Remember this right here. Behold means to look. To look means to see, and to see means to understand. Understand this whole thing that we're in today. This is a battle. We can't war with a scatterbrain. Amen. Love you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Pastor Turner, for that encouraging word. Processing the process. Yes, that's what we have to do. Process the process. So, Father God, he knows the way. He knows the way. I thank God for those encouraging words you gave us today. Well, I have an urgent message before we go off. I keep this for a couple of days to the Tuesday prayer line, and then today. Urgent message. It's better to be prepared than sorry later. It has been prophesied that in late October, early November, something is going to happen that we need to be prepared for. And this is a physical thing. I don't know if it's a pandemic, another coronavirus. I don't know if it's a storm, a hurricane. I don't have any idea. But they say it's going to be really bad. So we've been told to stock up on toilet tissue, paper towels, food, canned goods, frozen food, box food, jar food, all kinds of things. Water, water, water. Make sure you have plenty of water. Detergent to wash dishes, detergent to wash your clothes, garbage bags, flashlights, candles, some cash on hand, medication, vitamins, whatever you need. We need to be prepared. So we got to get ourselves prepared, get your families prepared, because God, he will protect us, but he also gives us warning. And the warning is, get your cupboards ready. Get water, food, flashlights in case the lights go out. You know, you got to decide what you're going to do with your freezer food, or, you know, how will you heat your canned goods? How will you heat your food? So, you know, some people use those sternos that they use under those aluminum pans. So we got to think about what we're going to do. We need a plan. You know, God is a planner. He planned the whole world before he created it. And we got to be like God. We got to plan. So I thank God for each of you. It's prayer time. Anyone have any prayer requests tonight? I have one. I'm going to ask, let me see, Micah, if you would pray for three children. I'll give you their names. Baby Chloe is 8 months. Baby Zoe is about 9 or 10 months. And CJ is 9 years old, almost 10. So if you could pray for their healing, they need healing.
Yes, ma'am. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to forgive us for sins known and unknown, Lord Jesus. We ask you to, your angels, your healing angels, your ministering angels, Lord Jesus, to minister to these children, to all children with sicknesses, Lord Jesus, mental or physical, in the name of Jesus. We thank for your angels cutting down anything that is not like you over your people, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we honor you with this request, Lord Jesus. And we believe it effective immediately, with no backlash, retribution, or retaliation from the enemy. Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Does anyone have a prayer request that's on tonight? Any prayer request? All righty.
Excuse me, Tyrese.
Okay.
Can you pray for our little brothers, Isaac and Israel?
Okay. Isaac and Israel. All right. Okay, Glory Dean, can you pray for their brothers, Isaac and Israel, as the Lord leads you to pray for them, however the Lord leads you to pray for them? Sister Glory Dean, are you there? Your phone might be muted.
I'm sorry, I had to unmute it.
No problem.
I thank God for today, and I thank Father for the children tonight, first of all. I thank you, Lord, how you're leading and guiding, how you're teaching them. Thank you so much, God. And Father, I just pray for the two little brothers right now. They're brothers, right?
Yeah.
I pray, God, that you touch their body, Father God. You know their situation. You know how they think. You know what they believe, God. But ask God that you touch their minds right now. Let them know what's right and what's wrong. In other words, God, I believe that they already know what's right and what's wrong. But obedience is better than sacrifice. They have to learn to be obedient to their parents. Be obedient. Just right. And we pray, God, if you have a problem, go to their father and ask him to help them. Explain to them what's going on with them. But Father, we just come against the enemy. We just lose the enemy. And we tell the enemy to be thou gone away from these little brothers. Be thou gone away from their minds. They do not belong to you. Their minds do not belong to you, enemy Satan. Their minds belong to God. We were created to serve the Lord thy God, and we are going to serve the Lord thy God with all of their heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and everything that they've learned, they're going to use it. I put the blood of Jesus on each one individually. And God, I ask you now, God, to keep them under the shadow of your wings. If there's anything going on in their little lives that's not right, God, that you keep them under the shadow of your wings until all these calamities are overpassed out of their lives, Father. And God, we love you and we praise you, God. I ask you, God, to preserve them from all evil. Preserve their souls. Preserve their going out and their coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Thank you for protection for Isaac and Israel. We thank you for what you're doing in their lives. as they are young children, O God. Protect them from the wiles of the enemy, O God. We ask you, Lord, to protect baby Chloe, baby Zoe, CJ, healing for them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are so grateful for you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Bless everyone on the line in Jesus' name. Does anyone have anything they want to add before we close out?
Can I please, Brother Dean, can I please sing a verse of one song? That's all.
Yes.
Oh, you're not the temptation.
Okay.
You're not the temptation, for you that is sin, each victory will help you. Some other to win, fight men valiantly onward, evil passions subdue, and look up to Jesus, and he will carry you through. You just ain't the Savior to him. The strength that keeps you, he is willing to lead you, and he will carry you through. The second verse is good. Shun evil companions, let the language disdain. God's name hold them in reverence, don't take it in vain. Be thoughtful and kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus, and he will carry you through. You just ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strength, and keep you. Oh, he is willing to help you, and he will carry you through. It's saying, yield not to temptation. Praise God, for yielding is sin. Yield not to temptation. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Gloria Dean. Anybody else have anything they want to add? It's closing time on University of Biblical Studies, Boys to Men and Girls to Ladies. We're going to continue on with this topic next week. We're going to get into some other parts of the topic. So be ready. Call your friends, family, to come on with us. But I thank God for each of you. Anybody else want to say anything? All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come honoring you, blessing you, calling on your name. We are thankful, Father God, for this time that you gave us, oh God, this time that you allowed us to study your word, to learn things that we need to learn to protect ourselves from seen and unseen dangers, to protect us. Thank you for you are a divine protector, oh God. You are fighting the battle for us, oh God. You give us warnings before destruction, oh God. So we thank you for everything that you're doing, everything that you're going to do. I lift up everyone who's on the line tonight, and I thank you, Lord God, for blessing them, protecting them, oh God, and providing for them like never before. And, Lord, as we leave the line but not from your presence, we ask you to walk with us, talk with us, be a lamp and a light to our pathway. Give us guidance, oh God, on a daily basis. Help us not to yield to temptation, because yielding is sin, oh God. Help us to yield to you, to your spirit. Help us to heed the warning. Help us to listen and be obedient to you. So, Father, we thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do. We bind up retaliation, revenge from the enemy, and we thank you that we are in a safe place in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you all. Talk to you all next time. Have a great night.
We love you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.